My family and I were stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. I felt, I can handle all the calls, I know the story, I know how to talk to the insurance agents. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you.
My family and I were on an outing. We stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see in my rearview mirror that there is a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. It ended up being a four-car pileup. Luckily, we had a luggage rack on the back that took most of the blow, but we still sustained some injuries that needed significant medical care. I felt confident, feeling I can handle all the calls, I know the story, I know how to talk to the insurance agents and file the reports, and I know how to negotiate. I totally thought that I had this. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. I finally called the advocates, and they took it from there. They know the drill. They know how to do this. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. When your family's hurting, you shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you. Give us a call.
This was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry, where today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. This is our special Thanksgiving episode. We're super excited to jump into all things that we're thankful for. I want to introduce my good friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And I'm Dr. Martin Mendelson, a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and author. And my first book, One Move Makes All the Difference, is available for pre-order and comes out just in a couple weeks. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, we invite you to check out our respective links, websites, and course offerings on our combined website, wellnessindentistry.com. So, Kyle, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. So, how you doing?
Yes. I'm thankful for you, for
yes.
sure.
Yes. Amen.
Now, today, we're going to talk about what Martin and I are thankful for, but we're mm-hmm. also going to talk about some of the science behind yeah. being thankful, gratitude, and really ways that this can apply to your practice.
Yeah.
This can apply to your team too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like a frou-frou, woo-woo, oh, let's all be thankful for everything, but how can this help your business? How can this help yeah. your practice?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, there is a lot of science to it. And, you know, for those who see me lecture, they know I go through this stuff and working with teams, and we attempt to employ and deploy these methodologies and these ideas. But yeah, I like what you said there. It's you know, it's commonly thought of as frou-frou, but it really isn't at its core.
Yeah. So for me, I had a big grateful weekend, I would mm-hmm. say. It was my dad's 75th, it wasn't his actual birthday, but it was his party, and it was a surprise party.
Oh, fun. I didn't realize
him,
that.
Which was great. So yeah. he was like, oh, you know, my brother Brent's coming into town. My brother Brent is a dentist, for people that have listened to this in Arizona. And he's like, Brent's family's coming into town. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. And then it was like, someone else was going to be in town too. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, everybody's there. And so we all went to a water polo game. We watched my nephews play. And then the next day, we surprised my dad. We did a family picture. And then we had a hibachi guy come and cook hibachi in our backyard for everybody. And we had such a great time.
That's awesome. And
I remember sitting there. So it was after we all ate dinner. Mm-hmm. And we went back into my parents' living room. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, okay, Paul, sit down. It's my dad's name. And we have a little gift for you. And so my dad's sitting down on this chair, and he has all of his grandkids and his kids and his daughter-in-law's there. And, you know, everyone's there, 20-something mm-hmm. people. And everyone's happy. Everyone's hanging out with their cousins and their brothers and sisters and just, like, loving each other. And I remember thinking, like, He did it. My dad went, he's winning life right now. He's 75. He's in good health. He's been married to my mom for 50 something years. His grandkids love him. His kids love him. His daughter-in-laws love him. He's not rich. He's not poor. And I was just like, this is it. He did it. And what was nice for me was that I was able to recognize it instead of just having the moment happen. I was very present in it and being like, wow, this is amazing. And then it made me very thankful that I had this example in my life too. And I think being able to recognize that for me only came through my work that I've put myself through in personal growth.
100%. Isn't that cool to be
Yeah, I
able
mean,
to
I'm
have that?
still kind of on a high about it. I just had a meeting earlier today and I was telling the guy that I was meeting with about it because I was just like, this is what it's all about.
Totally. 100%. Being present is so critical, because as I often say, the past has already happened, the future hasn't happened yet. And when you finally get to that future, that's now your present. So if that
Right.
doesn't bend your brain, I don't know what does. But that's all we got is the present. And
Yeah.
so if we're sitting there worried about other things, we're robbing ourselves of the present. And think about the opposite of what could have happened there, or what was an option, right? You could
Right.
have been thinking about eight different things. You have a lot going on in your life, right?
Yeah.
And so, but you chose not to. And I
Yeah.
use that word on purpose. You chose not to, right? And it's also a skill, as you just said, that you've been working on. It just didn't happen overnight. It's something you've worked on.
And there's an interesting part to this too that relates to a lot of what you talk about, which is, you know, the study of happiness and that kind of stuff. Is the next day I was talking with my dad and he was saying, you know, it's such a great time and I'm so happy that everyone could be there. But one of my nephews couldn't be there. And he actually chose to not be there. Okay. And my dad was like, you know, it's just really a shame that he couldn't be there. Like everyone else was there and it was just like such a shame that he couldn't be there. And, you know, all my grandkids were there but him. And I told my dad, like, why don't you focus on all the people that were there? Let's be grateful for everybody that flew and drove and took time off of whatever they were doing and canceled things and games and sports and whatever, that they could be there to celebrate you. Let's not focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive.
And the wild thing about that is that thought process, that experience, it's so universal. And so pick the situation, pick the topic, pick whatever. We've talked a couple times in the past about it's over a year ago now, when I blew a tire on the side of the road in Phoenix in August in 100 degree heat,
I'll
110
never
degree
forget it. Yeah.
heat. And
And
so
I wasn't even there.
I chose to focus on all the good stuff that happened around that rather than the bad stuff that created the situation to begin with. And so, like your presence or being present, it ends up being a choice. And so it's easier for us as humans to deviate toward that negative stuff. But then the question becomes, okay, why is, in this example, the one nephew's lack of presence more important than the how many nephews total or how many grandkids total?
Yeah, I mean 13, I think.
So it's like, okay, we're focused on the one versus the 13. Now, does that take away from the fact that he would love to see that additional grandson? Of course not. However, think about the like your brain, like a battery. Like, why are we using all this battery power to focus on the one versus the 13 in this case, to use specific numbers? So it's interesting.
Yeah, so in this case, it's like looking at gratitude, but also we're talking about positivity as well. I was listening to a podcast the other day with a guy named Hormozy, who people who are into personal development probably know, Alex Hormozy. But he was saying one of the, I'm trying to look up the quote here, but it said something like, being in a good mood for no reason is a superpower. Like the ability to generate a good state internally without needing external validation or circumstances.
Yeah.
is one of the strongest indicators of emotional discipline and personal freedom.
Yeah, totally.
And I
Totally
heard that
agree.
and I was like, wow, that is so awesome. Like, and I thought of a few people that I know that are kind of like this. You know, you meet someone, you're kind of like, what are you so happy about? And they're just
Yeah.
like, I mean, the sun is shining and I smelled that flower over there and it was just, oh, it was just amazing. And, you know, my body's good. I'm not in the hospital. Like, well, yeah, but you lost your job last week. Or, you know,
Exactly.
you're someone close to you passed away last year, you know? And they're just in a good mood for no good reason. And I don't think there's anything more attractive than that.
Well, and I would push back at your choice of words, my friend. They're in a good mood for a reason.
True.
Right?
True. It's just they're recognizing it.
Yeah, and I think that, we don't talk about world events or politics on this podcast. And I think it's also safe to say that there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on right now that can push a lot of negative and or fearful thoughts. So then the question becomes, okay, so how are you going to engage in that?
Yeah.
And what are you going to choose to engage in? How are you going to pick your sources of information? If you're getting worked up over X, Y, or Z element of current events, are you going to do something about it? And if the answer is
Right.
no, then what cost are you paying to be scared about it just through thought? So again, it becomes a choice. That doesn't make the situation any good or better or worse. It still is what it is. But it's a choice of how we choose to engage with it for our own mental health in our own lives on a daily basis.
Yeah, there's so many topics that kind of, I'm closing my eyes, I'm imagining swirling through the cauldron of Kyle.
My family and I were stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. I felt I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you.
And Martin, right? You have like presence and positivity and study of happiness and kind of what you were just talking about, which I feel like is circle of influence, really, which is like focus on things that you can control. And that when you focus on things that you can control, which is an offshoot of what you were just talking about, you have less anxiety. Like you ever, this happens to me all the time. I'm mad about something, or my wife and I get in an argument, and I just start cleaning. Now,
Interesting.
do you know why people do that?
Oh, because it's exerting control over their own environment.
Exactly. It's something you can control. And, you know, Martin and I talk about this when we talk about predictability in dentistry, clinical dentistry, right? The more you can predict and make things predictable, the better experience it is for everybody, for the patient, for the
Absolutely.
team, for you. And so if you can make something more predictable, whether that's through technology or certain techniques, we should do it. And it's the same way with other things in your practice. So if you can make your leadership more predictable, if you can make your communication more predictable, if you can make your cash flow more predictable, your schedule more predictable, you should do that because it will allow you to have more control. That means you'll have less anxiety, which means you'll be happier, enjoy your job more.
No, 100%. 100%.
Do
No, I like
you envision that cauldron that I'm talking about of all of our
that.
mixed topics that have kind of become one?
I do, and it's kind of, in some way my visualization's going to, all that stuff swirling and then kind of combining with the swirling elements that, our colleagues and our clients and our, course attendees also have in their own lives, and how
Yeah.
things kind of swirl and interchange, and and support each other to move upward. I don't know. That's the visualization coming to my mind. But
So I'm interested for you because this is our Thanksgiving episode and giving thanks. What's maybe you can explain some of the science behind gratitude, giving thanks. That's what we're talking about today. And then I'd also love to hear something that you're grateful for.
So I think in order to there's a couple of things I think we can jump into. One is something Shauna Kaur talks about in The Happiness Advantage, who also gave me a testimonial for my book, shameless plug. It's a meta-analysis from Sonia Lubomirski that studied 200 studies that comprise about 275,000 respondents worldwide. And they evaluated, who they were, what they did, how much money they had, education, kids, wives or husbands, marriages, whatever, all that stuff. And the overriding conclusion that it wasn't where they got in life or what they had in life that drove their happiness, it was the journey of the life itself. And so Sean takes that and states, happiness leads to success, not the other way around. And when you think about this from the standpoint or the mindset or the perspective of a dentist, he also talks about the concept that if we keep focusing on a specific achievement or goalpost, when we get there, then the goalpost moves. So graduate dental school, woohoo, okay, now what? Get your first practice. Great. Now what? First house, car, kids, spouse. Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? And so if you keep focusing on the achievement, then you're going to end up, quote unquote, never being happy. So the idea is to be more focused on the journey versus the destination. Now, that's one piece. The other piece is relative to, okay, so how can you do that? And so that's where the practice of gratitude comes in. And so that's where you can look to Martin Seligman's work, who is a huge, a giant in positive psychology circles. One of his landmark studies worked with several different groups, but diagnosed depressed patients. And there were various methodologies employed, but the part of this study I always talk about is those that journaled, wrote down, physically wrote down three things a day they were grateful for and stop after 7 days, only 7 days. And at 1, 3, and 6 month intervals, they reported greater levels of happiness, greater levels of life satisfaction, and lower levels of depression than the control group on meds. So, as I jokingly and lovingly like to say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. So, but if that's too mushy gushy for you, because you're like, well, that's subjective. We'll take red wine studies. So I jokingly say, I'll see you with Seligman and raise you a red wine. Dr. Red Wine had the same study construct, but his subject group was different. He worked with stage B heart failure patients. And the difference between their pre and post study blood draws was their inflammatory biomarkers reduced. And we in dentistry know probably better than most medical disciplines the role of chronic inflammation in oral and systemic health. So there is a mind-body connection. This idea of dualism, first coined by René Descartes in 1641, which states the mind and body exist as separate entities, is a bunch of BS. The reality is what you think creates the soundtrack of your life. Now, I want to be very clear that I'm not talking about the book, The Secret, in pure form. Nothing wrong with the book. However, it is missing something, which is action. And so we can manifest all we want, but if the manifestation isn't matched with action, well, that's when we're going to run into trouble. So that's a little bit of a side note, a little bit of a deviation. I always like to make that caveat, but there's a lot of science out there relative to, what happiness is, what drives happiness, the role of gratitude, the role of being present. Viktor Frankl's logo therapy is all about presence, going through life. So,
Yeah, I've got some things written down here too, just that I teach in some of my courses too. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experience, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. So, in one of these studies, this was Robert Emmons at University of California, Davis.
Yeah.
They had done research on gratitude. They asked all participants to write a few sentences each week. Was this the one you were saying when you were talking about?
It's a sim there have been a lot of these that have
Similar,
been
yeah, because
collected.
the yours I think was every day. And it said one group wrote about things they were grateful for and had occurred during the week. A second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And a third one wrote
Yeah.
about events that had affected them with no emphasis on it being positive or negative.
Yeah.
After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more, had fewer visits to physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravation. That's
Yeah.
wild.
Well, it's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. What you focus on, you will see,
Yeah.
right? It's pretty simple. Not so easy in terms of habit change, but super simple.
Yeah. Now, another one, too, which I thought was very interesting. This was Seligman, University of Pennsylvania, tested the impact of various positive psychology interventions on 411 people, each compared with a control assignment of writing about early memories. Okay. So well done, science, right? When their week's assignment was to write and personally deliver a letter of gratitude to someone who had never properly been thanked for his or her kindness, participants immediately exhibited a huge increase in happiness scores. This impact was greater than from any other intervention, with benefits lasting for a month. And I have experienced this before. When I have been able to do something for someone else. Now, one of the ones that I think of is, and I think I've told you this, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast. Around Christmas time, you get a lot of sweets, right? And I eat sweets, but not a lot. So, especially when you have a practice and like your referrals give you baskets of chocolate and there's all this stuff coming in. Well, because I travel a lot and I usually travel in the coming months after the holiday time, I give those to people on the plane. And so I'll bring some chocolate bars and I'll hand them out to the people as I walk onto the plane. And people are so thankful. They don't know me. I don't know them. They are like, oh my gosh, you brought that for me? Like, what did I do to deserve this? You know what I mean?
And it's
And
a chocolate bar.
yeah. And of course, they feel excited. I get even more out of it than I think they do.
Oh,
I feel
100%.
amazing.
So interesting you say that. So, because you've seen these, but I made these mindset medallions that's part of my book launch. Let's call it what it is. So if you're listening to this, it's a wooden coin. It's a little bigger than a silver dollar in diameter. And on the front side, there's a frowny face emoji, and it says, it takes one move to turn things around. And then you turn the mindset medallion over. It's wood. There's a smiling emoji. It says, good move. And the unbelievable ear-to-ear smile that every single person that I've ever given.
My family and I were on an outing. We stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see in my rearview mirror that there is a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. It ended up being a four-car pileup. Luckily, we had a luggage rack on the back that took most of the blow, but we still sustained some injuries that needed significant medical care. I felt confident, feeling I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents and file the reports, and I know how to negotiate. I totally thought that I had this. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. I finally called the advocates, and they took it from there. They know the drill. They know how to do this. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. When your family's hurting, you shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you. Give us a call.
Given one of these two. I feel bad because I feel like it's more benefiting me than them. And so many of them say, is this for me? Because to be clear, I give this out to everybody. I give it to flight attendants, waiters, waitresses, dental colleagues,
I have mine here on my
you
desk
name
somewhere.
it.
I'm looking for it.
You name it.
Mine
So
is here somewhere.
it's really interesting how the reaction of the from the recipient can be so impactful to the giver.
Yeah.
You
Now,
know?
I want to talk about specifically from a leadership standpoint, too, or how does this benefit you in your practice? Okay.
So, yeah, and you know, it's I there are some of our colleagues that I've heard in the past, or let me rephrase. I've observed some colleagues in the past say things like, you know, I don't want to thank people all the time. You know, isn't that their job? And so I want to be clear here. There are job descriptive expectations, but that's not something that's separate from appreciation. There's a difference. And so saying thank you to people, if you feel like you shouldn't be doing it because it's their job, then I would ask you to be evaluating yourself more than the people that you think need this thank you. But that aside, what's really the most impactful practice relative to this idea is being specific around what it is you're giving appreciation for. And so it's not, to use just a very simple example, it's not, hey, thanks for helping me today. It could be, hey, thanks for being so intuitive with Mr. or Mrs. Jones. You picked up, they were really nervous. I kind of missed it. And you were really great when you said blah, blah, blah to them. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. Now, to also be clear, on the flip side, it doesn't have to be some grandiose thing to express to another human being or to think about in your own life. It just needs to be something that you're grateful for that's specific. So it could even be, oh my gosh, I know this sounds crazy, but you know, when you made coffee right before lunch, that was amazing. What'd you do? Right? So it doesn't have to be some grandiose thing.
And I think from coming from a more selfish standpoint, because I know there's going to be people out here being like, okay, yeah, but like, why would I do that? This is my team and, whatever.
Yeah. They know I like them. Yeah, really? Do they?
Yeah. I
Yeah.
want to tell you that managers, and this has been studied,
Yeah.
managers who remember to say thank you to people who work for them may find that those employees feel more motivated to work harder.
Oh, yeah,
So,
100%.
They did this study at UPenn, again, UPenn, where they divided two different groups into fundraising groups. So, the people that call you're from your university and they try to get you to donate money for either dental school or undergrad. So it was those kind of people that were raising money.
People.
They had one group and they came in and said, okay, let's go. Let's raise the money. Make the calls. They had another group. Before they came in, they had the leader of that group, and she came in and said something like, I'm so thankful that you guys are here. This money that we raise helps us support our faculty more. It gives us better facilities. We can recruit the best students. And these calls that you make just make such a big difference in so many people's lives. Now, what they found in this study was that the second group made 50% more fundraising calls than those who did not get that pep talk. But notice, they didn't come in and say, you're all going to get paid more. You're going to get cookies at the end. We're going to fly in your family to come see you. No, they didn't say anything. They just said, we are so thankful that you guys are doing what you're doing. And these people worked 50% harder.
And what I heard you say was they were connecting it not just to the thank you, but the purpose behind the thank you.
Exactly.
So it almost goes back to Viktor Frankl and, you know, driving, you know, meaning or happiness through life's purpose, right? Isn't it funny how that's all similar, right? So, and I would even say, I would even extrapolate, like if you look at Barbara Fredrickson's broaden and build theory that states that positive thought action repertoires allow us to, you know, I'll euphemistically say broaden our horizon. So what they've determined is these positive thoughts allow us to broaden our ability to consider options, to problem solve, to, figure things out, et cetera. Whereas when we're negative, it tends to narrow us, kind of like tunnel vision. And so by extrapolation and assumption, and not scientific method, but let's go with it, is that, even with these fundraisers, because there was a purpose-driven message and this gratitude that they felt from, let's just call it the administration, they were more present on those calls and were listening for cues better, could then bring things up differently because of these, quote, positive thought action repertoires. It's also fascinating to me because once you understand a decent, once you've been exposed rather to a decent amount of this research, you start to see all the connections between the various types.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like what I'm talking about with this cauldron of ideas that we have. You know, it's like positivity and gratitude and leadership and focusing on what you can control. Like everything is so connected. And it's kind of like in dentistry, once you clinically get so sound with different areas, even if you don't do something, but you kind of know. You know, let's say I don't place implants, but I know how implants work and I work really closely with my specialist. Everything kind of molds together and you go, ah, okay. So, like, when I do this crown or when I do this implant restoration, that needs to fit here, that needs to fit here. Everything kind of works together. And that's kind of how wellness is, and especially mental wellness, is it all kind of molds together and it synergizes as well. So you get good at one thing that helps you with the other thing, or just helps you with the self-awareness to see the next step and grow even faster.
Yeah, I think that's great. Agreed.
So
Agreed.
I'm curious for you, what are you thankful for?
So that I have a lot to be thankful for this year, frankly. But I think one thing kind of happened recently. So as we're recording this, I just got back from London the week before. Why'd I go to London? Well, it's our 30th anniversary this year in December, 2 days after my book comes out. And this was our celebratory trip because we love to travel. And I had a very interesting moment because I've been very lucky to have been pretty well traveled, and I've been to Europe a bunch of times, but I somehow never went to London, and I neither one of us actually. And I've always wanted to go. And I remember just from the other week walking around thinking to myself, this is really cool, I'm here. But I thought there would be like maybe a little more, or I'd see something more different, et cetera, because I was looking at this street and thinking, oh, this looks like New York, or this looks like Chicago, or this looks like San Francisco, or this looks like, Amsterdam. And then I stopped and I realized, you realize why? It's because you have the good fortune to have seen these other places, and London seems more familiar to you. Because of the bounty in your life to have been able to experience all these other places, which I thought was really interesting, right? And it kind of turned everything around. Not that I don't want to give you the idea I was upset or disappointed. No. I was just standing there going, I thought I would be more excited, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
It
I
was
could see
super
that.
cool. It was super cool.
And what a nice thought to have. And what a, you know, for those of you that may be early on your positive growth, mental wellness, mental health journey, whatever you want to call it, these are the kind of little synapses that start to happen in your brain, where first of all, you start to just be more aware of everything. Then you start to be aware of how you're thinking. Then you start to recognize how you're thinking, twist it to how you know you should be maybe thinking, and it can change the whole day or a whole week.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And it's kind of like what I was talking about with my dad. You know, my dad was focusing mostly on the negative of a very great party that we had and a family get together. And I had to kind of remind him, let's focus on the positive. And it was the first thing I thought of. when he told me that, because that's how I think now.
I want to share another moment. So one of the things we did was we went to the ABBA experience.
Oh yeah.
And if you've ever met me, folks, you know I'm very short. And so we had the tickets that were the like dance floor, standing room only, you know, the general admission, whatever. And behind us were kind of bleacher type seats or you know, risers, I guess you could say. Well, there were so many people there that we were close enough together that I literally couldn't see much. And it was something I was very much looking forward to because I'm a huge ABBA fan anyway. And I was a bit grumpy about it to myself. But then I started to just kind of focus more on where I was, the fact that I had the opportunity to have this experience, the fact that I was able to fly 5,000 miles away from my home to be able to experience it. And then they started the song Lay All Your Hands on Me. And it's one of my favorite ABBA songs, if not my favorite ABBA song. And for whatever reason, for that song, they started with like lasers and all this other stuff that I could see. And so I chose to focus on how cool was it that my favorite song had the most interesting, to my eyes, effects and experience of the entire concert. And so I just kind of focused on that instead of being grumpy, because it's really easy to be grumpy. It really
It is.
is.
Well, that's the human nature. Human nature is to focus on negative. And that's why it's so easy to go down that route. And that's why we have to get the skill to have the positive thought be the default.
And if you're somebody who's stuck in negativity and it's like, oh yeah, that's all like rose-colored glasses, BS, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, wait a minute. It's just a simple choice. And my being grumpy is just as valid as my being not grumpy. So, you know, which do you choose? I choose to remember the concert as an experience that I was incredibly grateful for, that was on my bucket list, that is unique in the world, actually, the way they did it. I don't know if you know what this is, but it's basically a, it is them singing, and you're looking at them basically as like 3D holograms, if you will.
Oh wow. Oh
So
wow.
it's
I didn't know.
literally like a concert with them singing today, live, even though they're not live. So they look like their young selves because they actually re-recorded all 200 within their library with these body suits on to capture their movements and stuff. So it really is them, even though it's not them. So I was choosing to focus on the gratitude of my having the, you know, ability, both financially, time, and health, to be there. So,
I think this is why I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's one of my favorite holidays. And there's no gifts. You know, it's like you don't get anything. But
Well,
how amazing.
do you though?
Oh, well, I know. For the people that are not watching this on video, I just put up a quotes when I said you don't get anything because I think you get a lot out of it. And especially having kids, it is so awesome to see. Because at my family, we do a thing where you go around and you say something that you're thankful for. We also have, my mom makes these placemats. My mom's like a Martha Stewart kind of person, without going to jail, and makes the without the insider trading, and makes these placemats. And every year, the kids write what they're thankful for. And so it's kind of fun to look back because,
Oh,
you know,
that's
when
fun.
they're four, they write they're thankful for their princess doll and their skateboard, and then when they're older, they start to have more grown up things they're grateful for. But it's so fun to be around the people that you love and see the gratitude. Because when you look at some of the research, part of the research is people experiencing gratitude. Like, especially if someone is giving you gratitude, like if you're the person that they're grateful for or something that you did. Not only will they receive gratitude, but you will also, of course. And they will receive even more from seeing you experience it.
Absolutely.
That's like the research I talked about where you'd hand deliver the note and you ask the person to read it in front of you.
And those who, people who know me know that every morning that I'm home, I write my husband a note every morning. And it's very two-sided because it is meant as a gesture of thanks and gratitude, but I also know what it's doing for me. And so, you know, we were gone the better part of 2 weeks. And so this morning was actually the first time I had done it in a while. And I thought to myself, oh, wow, I haven't written a note in like 2 weeks. And I was like, you know, thanks for such a great trip, blah, 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 you know, and it brings all that stuff back to your present mind. So and we could go into journaling and letter writing because part of my happiness studies course, we talked a lot about journaling and the various types of journaling and how effective that is and why and all those kind of good things. So.
Yeah, so let's bring this in. With Thanksgiving coming up,
Yeah.
how can the dental professionals listening to this
Yeah.
use gratitude to their advantage? How can they enjoy the holiday while understanding the benefit of a holiday like this?
I would say challenge yourself. I would challenge yourself to sit down with your phone or a pen and paper and just write down the things you're grateful for and don't get stuck in this. It's got to be some grandiose thing. It could be something minor that you're thankful for. If you're stuck, look at your calendar and go month by month because I know there's stuff there that you could be thankful for. Often when I work with my dentist coaching clients to teach them how to do this more, I have them look at their schedule at the end of the day and go, okay, how many of those patients did you have a good interaction with versus the one or two that you had challenged? So
That's right.
take the time to sit down and document in whatever way you want the things you're grateful for. And I promise you, you're going to come up with a big enough list that's going to be able to combat the stuff that may be more present on your mind that's negative. So that would be something that I would strongly recommend you do to put yourself in that thankful place.
Yeah, and I like what you said about it doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. So yesterday we took the kids to a place called Rogers Gardens. I don't know if you remember Rogers Gardens in Newport Beach, but it's this beautiful place where you can buy plants, you can buy pots, but they also do a lot of stuff around the holidays. So they really decorate cool for Halloween and for Thanksgiving and for Hanukkah and for Christmas and like beautiful stuff, very expensive stuff too. But we went yesterday to see the Halloween and Christmas stuff that they already have. And it was so awesome. So cool. The kids had so much fun. And we walked through the rose gardens and we were smelling all these roses. And there was this one rose, and it's funny enough, it's called the Martha Stewart rose. I didn't know that she had her own rose, but it smelled incredible. Incredible. I mean, I could smell that all day. It was fruity, it was smelled clean, it smelled kind of citrusy. It was just amazing. And my family and I sat there just smelling these roses and just literally stopping to smell the roses. And then we were walking out to the car and the weather could not have been more perfect. It was 75 degrees. We had an ocean breeze. And we were all just like, this is such a beautiful day, and we were appreciating the day. I'm a weather snob, so I love basically that weather, 75 degrees, the ocean breeze. And so we're driving home. We've got the windows down. We've got our hands out the window. The kids get their hands out the window, and we were just like, we are so thankful that we live here, that we can experience this. And I had such a great day.
Yeah,
And
that's
I think
awesome.
part of the reason I had a great day was because I was so grateful for it.
You stopped and smelled the roses.
Literally.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, it's wonderful to be to have the skill to be present, to realize, acknowledge, and embrace what's really right in front of your nose, pun intended.
Well, Martin and I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving if you're in the US or even if you're not in the US, but you celebrate Thanksgiving. And even if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, maybe take the time tomorrow and, like Martin said, write something down, even have the thought of it. But writing it down definitely helps. And if you can tell someone that you're grateful for them, your spouse, your kids, your team member, your hygienist, your business partner, tell them.
Actually, I'll give you another tip. I can't believe I forgot about this. So last year, for the first time, you got one. I started filming little videos on Thanksgiving. And it just kind of exploded because I was having so much fun doing it. I ended up doing 47 videos.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's
Yep, I
another one
remember
you can
getting
do.
it. Well, if this was helpful for you guys, if you know a colleague that may want to get more into gratitude, maybe send this to them on Thanksgiving tomorrow. And I think this will help a lot of people. So we'll see you guys on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry.
Take care.